We come down to the end of a meeting like this, and it's always kind of tough. You learn to make new friends and get reacquainted with old ones, and we certainly have enjoyed our stay here so very much. We appreciate the Albrights opening their home to us and pretty much giving us free rein. I mean, that's saying something. You take on a family of seven. That's a tough job. And I certainly appreciate them opening their home and their property up to us. They even let me take his four-wheeler out and take the kids a ride on that the other night. Go see all the deer trail that Brother John's tracking down. And also, it was a delight to be with John and Leanne Ziegler and their precious children. Appreciate them so much, and thank you for all that hard work, cooking and whatever else, and whoever else helped out on that. We appreciate it so very much. It's always good to kind of get reacquainted with old classmates. I don't know that we actually had any classes together. They're quite a bit older than me. No, I'm teasing. Just old enough older than me that they and I were there at the same time, but I don't remember specifically having any classes at the same time with them. I think I was a freshman the year they graduated, or shortly thereafter, maybe. But it's always good to see them and get reacquainted with them and meet their children, and appreciate them so much as well. Oh, I was probably taking the deeper classes, he says. Probably not. Then the Greens took us out for supper and some sightseeing the other night. We certainly appreciate that as well. And different ones of you have done things that we may not even be aware of. And we appreciate it all so very much. Appreciate the invitation to come and minister among you and have the opportunity to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise God. When you come down to the end of a meeting, it's sometimes hard to know just exactly what the Lord would have for a service. Sometimes he gives us very clear direction. We feel very clear in what he wants us to say. Other times it's perhaps not quite so clear. And then sometimes he just kind of gives us a general idea. As the Lord would help us tonight, I want to talk to you about a verse we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, pardon me, chapter 4, verse 7. I'm actually going to begin our reading at verse 6 and read on down through verse 18. But verse 7 is going to be what I want to focus on tonight, as the Lord would help us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Jesus, again, we ask that you would come and help us in a special way. Please minister to our hearts and through us minister to the hearts of the dear ones that would hear us tonight. I pray that your hand would rest upon us for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. A few chapters earlier, in fact, I believe it may be, yes, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that Paul tells us that God chooses to use things that seem inferior to conquer things that would appear to be superior. He says it like this: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let's slip on down to verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And here's the key: that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. One of the things that I think that we struggle with in our lives is trying to measure up. We try to measure up to our own expectations. Or we try to measure up to the man or the woman that lives down the street or sits across from us at church. But one of the things the Scripture tells us is that it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. Why? Because every one of us are different. We have different personalities. Aren't you glad? We have different makeups. We have different likes and dislikes. We have different abilities and inabilities. But it is such a comfort to me to know that God is able to take whoever is willing and use them for the honor and the glory of God. If you look through the Scriptures, there's time after time after time that God brings victory to His people through individuals who, according to man's standards, would not even be candidates to be chosen. And yet God will lay His hand on a man like Gideon. And through a man like Gideon, that's scared half to death, he's doing his best, but he's so scared that he's threshing wheat in the wine press. Or at the wine press. I mean, he's hiding out under the cover of darkness, beating out the grain. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord says, "Behold, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee." Gideon said, "If the Lord is with us, why then has all this evil befallen us?" You know how the story, how that God used Gideon to blow the trumpet and gather the children of Israel together. 32,000 showed up. Now in my mind's eye, I kind of picture Gideon sort of shaking his head and maybe praying, "Lord, you know, I was needing to talk to you about the number of soldiers you sent me." The Lord said, "You know, I was just wanting to talk to you about the same thing." "Oh, yeah? Well, good, Lord. Do you have a few more available?" "Oh, no. No, Gideon, you have too many." "Too many?" "Yes, you have too many. But, Lord, you know, only 32,000? Now, it just so happens, in the book of Judges, where this story is given, remember the other night I talked to you about Asa and his men and the Ethiopians who came against them, and they had a host of 1,000,000 or 1,000,000. But here in Judges, this says a host without number. Well, if they could number 1,000,000 soldiers, it had to at least be more than that. They were as the sand of the sea for multitude, it says. And so, poor Gideon. He says, "Well, Lord, how do you want me to weed them out?" And the Lord says, "Well, I want you, first of all, to tell everybody who's fearful and afraid to go home." In my mind's eye, I see Gideon sort of searching his own heart. You see, he was hiding when the angel of the Lord found him. So there was a measure of consternation there. But evidently not to the point that he would call himself fearful and afraid. And so the scripture tells us that as Gideon talked to the crowd and said, okay, God says if you're scared to death, go home. And maybe he expected, you know, a few hundred men to leave, but more than two-thirds of his congregation get up and leave. Out of 32,000 soldiers, 22,000 leave. How many does that leave? Somebody 10 and under. How many does that leave? 32 minus 22,000. 32,000 minus 22,000 leaves. Okay, 12 and under. 10,000, you got it right. You're still 10 and under. No, you aren't. Are you? You're sort of 10 and under. You're 10. Okay. 10,000 soldiers. Lord, I was wondering if we could have another talk about these fellas that are going with me to battle. That's exactly right, Gideon. I wanted to talk to you about the soldiers you have. Yes, Lord. There's still too many.
Too many?
Yes, Gideon, there's still too many.
But Lord, who's supposed to leave this time?
He said, well, I want you to send all the men down to the river and have them get a drink out of the water and watch them close. So all of the guys go down to the river and get a drink. Gideon's watching. Most of them just, the way I understand it, just kind of put their heads down in the water and start drinking. And there's a few that just kind of put their hand in the water, bring it up to their mouth, then lap it like a dog. Maybe Gideon started looking at those guys and said, huh, they're just a little bit afraid. See the way they're looking around? Ha, those guys are scared. That'll be the guys God sends home. And all of a sudden the Lord says, all right, Gideon, do you see those guys lapping like a dog? You see those guys putting their hands to their mouth? That's your crew. Send everybody else home. So, 9,700 men have to leave. And who's left? 300 soldiers. Now, I don't know that I can prove this, but as I understand the reading of the scripture, it would appear to me that the first 22,000 that left, as were described, were too scared to go into battle for God to be able to use them. They were just too timid. Oh, Lord, I just can't. Oh, don't ask me to do anything, preacher, please. But the other 9,700 were overly confident. They weren't worried about the enemy. They just got down to the water and got a drink. They weren't looking around. They weren't watching out for the enemy. They weren't looking to see if they're sneaking up. But those 300, as they knelt down beside that water and put their hand in and brought it up to their mouth to look, they were looking out over the horizon. They were on their guard. They weren't afraid. They weren't running away, but they were alert. They were keeping on their toes, so to speak. And it was those men that God says, I can use them. Everybody else go home. All right, Lord, now what? Well, I want everybody to get a trumpet. A trumpet. And a light.
A light?
Oh, and a pitcher to cover the light. Okay. And what about armor, swords, spears? Oh, you won't be needing those. Okay. Such a beautiful story how God takes those 300 men and with clear direction to Gideon, sets 100 on this side, another 100 on that side, and a third 100 on this side. And they're given a command. When you hear Gideon shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, everyone is to throw their pitchers that are covering the light down to the ground with a crash. Lift your light high and sound the trumpet. Now, probably in our culture, we wouldn't understand that as much. But in the day in which they were fighting, the captains were the men who had lights and trumpets. The trumpets were used for giving directions. There was the bugle call for this or for that, whether to charge or to retreat. Maybe you heard the story about the little boy one time that was a substitute for one of the trumpeters in one of the battles they were fighting. And they got into the thick of the battle one day, and the captain, the little boy was beside the captain, and he had his trumpet there ready, and the captain says, "You better sound retreat. They're just about to take us. Sound retreat, sound retreat." And the little boy thought for a little bit. He said, "I don't know how to play retreat." He says, "Well, what do you know how to play?" He says, "All I know how to play is charge." And so the little boy put his trumpet to his lips and sounded the call, charge. And all of those guys took off and they won the battle. Well, that's kind of what happened with Gideon. 300 men stationed in three different areas in groups of 100. The scripture says that at the time of the changing of the guard, somewhere in the middle of the night, towards morning maybe, there's one group of soldiers who've been guarding. I don't know how many they may have had on guard during the night. Here's this host of more than a million. They're down in the valley. Let's say 3-4 o'clock. They're getting really tired. I mean, they've been up all night long. And so their time is finally up, and they're getting ready to go to bed. Oh, finally. They yawn, and they go into the tent of their buddy, and they kind of shake their buddy. "It's your turn, man. Get out here and stand guard." And the other guy, he's like my son Titus. That's the way he was this evening when he was trying to get ready for church. He's not really that way. In the mornings, he gets right up. But the one has been up all night and goes into crash. I mean, he's out. The other one is just waking up. Now, I know that there are some people that wake up like this and they're all happy and ready to go just as soon as they wake up. I can't understand them people. If any of that night guard just coming on duty was anything like me, it took a while to wake up. Oh, shoo. Rub your eyes a little bit. I can tell some of you know what I'm talking about. Wipe the sleepy out. I don't know if they had coffee or anything like that, but maybe they got something to drink. They're flagging. Take a little drink. Now be careful, you'll start yarning. So they're so tired, hardly awake. In fact, I see a couple of them sort of look around. I don't see anything out there. I'm going to sit down for just a little bit and doze right back off. Oh, there may have been a few of them awake, but this is the changing of the guard. Not a very alert time for the enemy. But Gideon's men, they were ready. They've been gearing up for this. There was that normal fear that's not afraid. Does anybody know what I mean by that? You're not a scaredy cat, you're just nervous. They were ready. They were alert. And just at the right moment, Gideon says, now. He cries out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon! They were up on the hills, overlooking this valley. And in the stillness of the night, have any of you ever been out in a valley at night and heard someone holler across the valley? Can you hear it? You can hear it, can't you? Sometimes it echoes. It's been interesting. Sometimes late at night, my brother lives across the road from us, all kind of catty-cornered. Maybe it's from here to that big tree sitting out all by itself over there. And if they're outside, I can hear them talking. They're not screaming or hollering, just talking. You can just hear them. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon! And I tell you what, I think he had a pretty good set of lungs. And I think he used them. He hollered out over that valley and everybody hears that cry. And then all of a sudden they look up. And from every direction that they look, they see lights and they hear the sound of charge. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know if that's charge or not, but it sounds like it should be. Got myself tickled. So anyway, I've never got myself that tickled before. I'm sorry. Oh dear. Those poor soldiers down in the valley look up. And they see all the lights and hear all those trumpets. And what crosses their mind is this. If there's that many captains, how many soldiers are there? They're already on us. And all of a sudden they see one of their buddies running out for their tent. And they think that's one of the Israelites. Everybody's trying to grab their sword. And they're so confused because of the time of the night. They're all sort of just in a daze. And the scripture says that those men just literally wiped each other out. They fought all night with each other, not realizing they were killing themselves. And what happened? Gideon and his men were able to stand on the side of the mountain, letting their light shine and singing their praises or playing their praises to the Lord. And God gave a mighty victory. Could those men go home and say, look what we did? If the 32,000 men had fought against that great host of Midianites and slew them like they slew themselves, they'd have been coming home patting themselves on the back. We got them. If the 10,000 would have been able to conquer those fellas by their sheer strength, wow, they'd have really come home patting themselves on the back. Look what we did. But those poor 300 men, the only thing they could claim was their light shine, and they did just what God told them to do. But they also won the victory. But all the glory, all the credit went to God. Friends, we have this treasure in earthen vessels in order that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So don't ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, God can't use me. I'm not handsome or pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not whatever else may come to your mind enough, smart enough. Friends, all God needs you to do is be available enough. Make yourself available to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ can take you and make you just exactly what He wants you to be. And if anything is accomplished, you can give all the glory to God because it sure wasn't you. It wasn't your greatness. It was Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are human. We're frail. We're weak. But Jesus told the Apostle Paul when he faced severe weakness, we don't know for certain what it is that Paul was facing and encountering. He described it as a thorn in the flesh. And he asked the Lord, "Oh God, please remove this thorn in the flesh from me." 3 times. And each time God said no. But the Lord responded with, "No, but my grace is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul then said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity." In other words, I'm going to be thankful for the problem I have because it's kept me humble. It's kept me dependent upon Him. It's given me the opportunity to make sure everybody knows it's not me, it's God. And friends, we have that wonderful opportunity too, that whatever God uses in our lives to further His kingdom through us, we can just give Him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Because we're nothing. We can do nothing in our own strength. Nothing at all. But through Him and with Him, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So my challenge to all of you, especially to you young people, don't be fearful and afraid. Don't make God send you home because you're just, "No, preacher, I can't. I just can't." Don't do that. It's impossible to be brave without having a measure of fear. But don't be a scaredy cat. Be brave for Christ. And for God's sake, please, I beg of you, please don't be cocky. Don't be like the 9,700 that thought we got this, we'll handle it, we'll be all right. Don't be cocky. Don't trust in your own strength or boast in your own goodness. You'll fall just as flat as the fearful and the afraid. But rest in Him. Be on your guard. Be alert. Peter said it like this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. And another passage says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Another one says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So be strong and courageous in Christ. Let your strength be rooted in Him. Not in any feelings of we can do it by your own strength. But in dependence on Him. Through Christ, I can do all things. Pastor, I feel a little bit afraid, but if you think God wants me to, if that's what you feel like the Lord's wanting you to ask me to do, I'll be willing. If you'll pray for me. Wouldn't you love to hear that, Pastor? Young people, begin at a young age being willing to do anything God asks. Don't feel like you have to wait till you're grown up. I love that little song. Sometimes my children sing it. I don't think they sing it this week. I don't have to wait until I'm grown up to serve the Lord. You can serve Him now. It was just a little boy called a lad in the Scriptures that had a lunch that he provided for Jesus. And he fed 5,000 men besides women and children. Whatever is in your hand, give it to the Lord and see what God can do with you. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for these precious ones that we have met this week and some we have gotten reacquainted with. I thank you for their sincerity, Lord. I thank you for their passion to serve you. Lord, I pray today that you would lay your hand on every one of them. And I pray that you would lift from this little congregation a bright lighthouse that would dispel darkness in this community. I pray that you would make wonderful vessels of mercy out of the hearts and lives of all of these precious ones, from the youngest to the oldest. I pray for Brother John and his family, that you would strengthen and encourage him, that you would give him the wisdom that he needs to lead the congregation. I pray, Father, that you would help in all of the others who have leadership positions. I ask that you would help them to be passionate about serving you and to be dedicated wholeheartedly to you, that their lives might be dedicated to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand this treasure that we have is in our earthly vessels. We are weak and we are frail, but through Christ we can be made strong. Help us to depend on you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to spend the time with you that we need to in order to be strong. Help us to seek you with all of our heart. And I pray that you would guide our lives and direct us. And as you promised to Abraham, I pray that you would bless us and make us a blessing for the glory of God. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for your kindness to us this week. God bless you. You are dismissed.